Mass. The procession, which immediately precedes Mass on other feasts, is today deferred till after the offering of the great sacrifice. In this procession, Jesus is to preside in person. We must, therefore, wait until the sacred action, so our fathers called the Mass, has bowed down to us the heavens where he resides. Footnote, Psalm 17, verse 10. He will soon be shrouded beneath the mysterious cloud. He is coming, that he may nourish his elect with the fat of wheat, of that wheat which has fallen on our earth. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. And is to be multiplied by being mystically immolated on the countless altars of this earth. He is coming today that he may receive a triumph at the hand of his people and hear the songs we shall so joyously sing to the God of Jacob. These are the ideas expressed by the introit, wherewith the Church opens her chants during the Holy Sacrifice. It is taken from Psalm 80, which is so sublime and is one of those already recited in the matins of this feast. Introit. He fed them with the fat of wheat, alleluia, and filled them with honey out of the rock, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Rejoice unto God our helper, sing joyfully unto the God of Jacob. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church reminds us of the intention our Lord had in instituting, on the eve of his Passion, the sacrament of his love. It was to be a perpetual memorial of the Passion which he was then going to suffer. Our Mother prays that being thus imbued with the Spirit which leads her to pay honor to the body and blood of Christ, we may obtain the blessings which were purchased for us by his sacrifice. Collect. O God, who under the wonderful sacrament hast left us a memorial of thy Passion, grant us, we beseech thee, so to reverence the sacred mysteries of thy body and blood, that in our souls we may always feel the fruit of thy redemption. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, 1, chapter 11. Brethren, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke, and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye shall drink, for the commemoration of me. For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, ye shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. The Holy Eucharist, both as sacrifice and sacrament, is the very center of the Christian religion, and therefore our Lord would have a fourfold testimony to be given, in the inspired writings, to its institution. Besides the accounts given by Saints Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have also that of St. Paul, which has just been read to us, and which he received from the lips of Jesus himself, who vouchsafed to appear to him after his conversion, and instruct him. St. Paul lays particular stress on the power, given by our Lord to his disciples, of renewing the act which he himself had just been doing, he tells us what the evangelists had not explicitly mentioned, that as often as a priest consecrates the body and blood of Christ, he shows, he announces, the death of the Lord. By that expression, he tells us that the sacrifice of the cross and that of our altars is one and the same. It is likewise by the immolation of our Redeemer on the cross that the flesh of this Lamb of God is truly meat, and his blood truly drink, as we shall be told in a few moments by the Gospel. Let not the Christian, therefore, forget it, even on this day of festive triumph. The Church insists on the same truth in her collect of this feast. It is the teaching which she keeps repeating in this formula throughout the entire octave, and her object in this is to impress vividly on the minds of her children this last and earnest injunction of Jesus. As often as ye shall drink of this cup of the New Testament, do it for the commemoration of me. The selection she makes of this passage of St. Paul for the Epistle should impress the Christian with this truth, that the divine flesh which feeds his soul was prepared on Calvary, and that although the Lamb of God is now living and impassible, he became our food, our nourishment, by the cruel death which he endured. The sinner, who has made his peace with God, will partake of this sacred body with deep compunction, reproaching himself for having shed its blood by his sins. The just man will approach the holy table with humility, remembering how he also has had but too great a share in causing the innocent lamb to suffer, and that, if he be at present in the state of grace, he owes it to the blood of the victim, whose flesh is about to be given to him for his nourishment. But let us dread, and dread above all things, the sacrilegious daring, spoken against in such strong language by our apostle, which, by a monstrous contradiction, would attempt to put again to death him who is the author of life, and this attempt to be made in the very banquet which was procured for us men by the precious blood of this Savior. Let a man prove himself, says the apostle, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. This proving oneself is sacramental confession, which must be made by him who feels himself guilty of a grievous sin which has never before been confessed. How sorry soever he may be for it, were he even reconciled to God by an act of perfect contrition, the injunction of the apostle, interpreted by the custom of the Church and the decision of her councils, footnote, Council of Trent, Session 14, Chapter 4, forbids his approaching the holy table until he has submitted his sin to the power of the keys. The gradual and Alleluia verse are a further instance of the parallelism between the two testaments, which we have already noticed in the composition of the Matins responsories. The psalmist extols the bounty of God, to whom every living creature looks for its food, and Jesus offers himself to us, as we have it in St. John's Gospel, as our truest nourishment. Gradual. The eyes of all hope in thee, O Lord, and thou givest them food in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and fillest with thy blessing every living creature. Alleluia, alleluia. My flesh is truly meat, and my blood is truly drink. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. Then follows the sequence, that well-known composition of the angelic doctor. The Church, the true Zion, expresses her enthusiasm and love for the living and life-giving bread in words which at first sight would seem too precise and scholastic to be adapted to a poetic form or sentiment. The Eucharistic mystery is here developed with that concision and solemnity for which St. Thomas had such a wonderful talent. The words are accompanied by a chant which is worthy of them, and the two together excite in the Christian soul the sentiments of unearthly joy, which are so peculiar to this feast of the Sacrament of Love. Sequence. Praise thy Savior, O Sion! Praise thy guide and shepherd in hymns and canticles. As much as thou hast power, so also dare, for he is above all praise, nor canst thou praise him enough. This day there is given to us a special theme of praise, the living and life-giving bread, which, as our faith assures us, was given to the 12 brethren as they sat at the table of the Holy Supper. Let our praise be full, let it be sweet, let our soul's jubilee be joyous, let it be beautiful. For we are celebrating that great day whereon is commemorated the first institution of this table. In this table of the new king, the new Pasch of the new law puts an end to the old Passover. Newness puts the old to flight, and so does truth the shadow. The light drives night away. What Christ did at that supper, that he said was to be done in remembrance of him. Taught by his sacred institutions, we consecrate the bread and wine into the victim of salvation. This is the dogma given to Christians, that bread passes into flesh and wine into blood. What thou understandest not, what thou seest not, that let a generous faith confirm thee in beyond nature's course. Under the different species which are signs, not things, there hidden lie things of infinite worth. The flesh is food, the blood is drink, yet Christ is whole under each species. He is not cut by the receiver, nor broken, nor divided. He is taken whole. He is received by one, he is received by a thousand. The one receives as much as all, nor is he consumed who is received. The good receive, the bad receive, but with the difference of life or death. 'Tis death to the bad, 'tis life to the good. Lo, how unlike is the effect of the one like receiving. And when the sacrament is broken, waver not, but remember that there is as much under each fragment as is hid under the whole. Of the substance that is there, there is no division. It is but the sign that is broken, and he who is the signified is not thereby diminished, either as to state or stature. Lo, the bread of angels is made the food of pilgrims. Verily it is the bread of the children, not to be cast to dogs. It is foreshown in figures, when Isaac is slain, when the paschal lamb is prescribed, when manna is given to our fathers. O good shepherd, true bread, Jesus, have mercy upon us. Feed us, defend us, give us to see good things in the land of the living. O thou who knowest and canst do all things, who feedest us mortals here below, make us to be thy companions in the banquet yonder above, and thy joint heirs, and fellow citizens with the saints. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. The beloved disciple could not remain silent on the mystery of love. But, at the time when he wrote his gospel, the institution of the Eucharist had been sufficiently recorded by the three evangelists who had preceded him, as also by the Apostle of the Gentiles. Instead, therefore, of repeating what these had written, he completed it by relating the solemn promise made by Jesus on the banks of Lake Tiberias, a year before the Last Supper. He was surrounded by the thousands who were in admiration at his having miraculously multiplied the loaves and fishes. Jesus takes the opportunity of telling them that he himself is the true bread come down from heaven, which, unlike the manna given to their fathers by Moses, could preserve man from death. Life is the best of all gifts, as death is the worst of evils. Life exists in God as in its source. Footnote, Psalm 35, verse 10. He alone can give it to whom he pleases, and restore it to him who has lost it. Man, who was created in grace, lost his life when he sinned and incurred death. But God so loved the world as to send it, lost as it was, his Son. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. With the mission of restoring man to life. True God of true God, light of light, the only begotten Son is, likewise, true life of true life, by nature. And as the Father enlightens them that are in darkness, by this Son who is his light, so likewise he gives life to them that are dead, and he gives it to them in this same Son who is his living image. Footnote, St. Cyril of Alexandria, in Ioannem, Book 4, Chapter 3. The Word of God, then, came amongst men, that they might have life, and abundant life. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, Chapter 10, Verse 10. And whereas it is the property of food to increase and maintain life, therefore did he become our food, our living and life-giving food, which has come down from heaven, partaking of the life eternal which he has in his Father's bosom, the flesh of the Word communicates this same life to them that eat it. That, as St. Cyril of Alexandria observes, which of its own nature is corruptible, cannot be brought to life in any other way than by its corporal union with the body of him who is life by nature. Now, just as two pieces of wax melted together by the fire make but one, so are we and Christ made one by our partaking of his body and blood. This life, therefore, which resides in the flesh of the Word, made ours within us, shall be no more overcome by death. On the day appointed, this life will throw off the chains of the old enemy and will triumph over corruption in these our bodies, making them immortal. Footnote, St. Cyril of Alexandria, in Ioannem, Book 10, Chapter 2. Hence it is that the Church, with her delicate feelings as bride and mother, selects from this same passage of St. John her gospel for the daily Mass of the dead, thus drying up the tears of the living who are mourning over their departed friends, and consoling them by bringing them into the presence of the Holy Host, which is the source of true life and the center of all our hopes. Thus not only was the soul to be renewed by her contact with the Word, but even the body, earthly and material as it is, was to share in its way in what our Savior called the Spirit that quickeneth. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, Chapter 6, Verse 64. They, St. Gregory of Nyssa has so beautifully said, quote, who have been led by an enemy's craft to take poison, neutralize by some other potion the power which would cause death, and as was the deadly, so likewise the curative must be taken into the very bowels of the sufferer, that so the efficacy of that which brings relief may permeate through the whole body. Thus, we, having tasted that which ruined our nature, require something which will restore and put right that which was disordered, that when this salutary medicine shall be within us, it may, as an antidote, drive out the mischief of the poison which had previously been taken into the body. And what is this salutary medicine? No other than that body which had both been shown to be stronger than death, and was the beginning of our life. For, says the Apostle, as a little leaven makes the whole paste to be like itself, so likewise that body, which God had willed should be put to death, when it is within ours, transmutes and transfers it wholly into itself. Now the only way whereby a substance may be thus received into the body is by its being taken as food and drink. End quote. Footnote. St. Gregory of Nyssa, The Catechetical Oration, Chapter 37. The offertory is taken from the words of Leviticus, Chapter 21, Verse 6, wherein God commands the priests of the ancient covenant to be holy, because of their having to offer holocausts and loaves of proposition to him, as figures of something future. As much as the priesthood of the New Testament is superior to this ministry of the figurative law, so much should the hands of Aaron be surpassed in holiness by those that have to offer to God the Father the true bread of heaven, which is the sacrifice of infinite fragrance. Offertory. The priests of the Lord offer unto God the burnt offering and loaves, and therefore shall they be holy to their God, and shall not defile his name. Alleluia. In the secret, the priest prays that there may be in the church that unity and peace, which are the special grace of the Holy Sacrament, as the Fathers teach us. The very bread and wine which are offered express this. The bread is made up out of many grains, and the wine out of many berries. The preface, both for the feast and the octave, is that of Christmas. We are thus reminded of the close connection there exists between the two mysteries of the birth of Christ and the Eucharist. It was in Bethlehem, the house of bread, that Jesus, the bread of life, came down from heaven through the Virgin, his ever-blessed mother. Secret. Mercifully grant thy church, O Lord, we beseech thee, the gifts of unity and peace, which are mystically represented in these offerings. Preface. It is truly meet and just, right and available to salvation, that we should always and in all places give thanks to thee, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, Eternal God, for that by the mystery of the Incarnate Word, a new ray of thy glory has appeared to the eyes of our soul, so that while we behold God visibly, we may be carried by him to the love of things invisible, and therefore, with the angels and archangels, with the thrones and dominations, and with all the heavenly host, we sing a hymn to thy glory, saying unceasingly, Holy, holy, holy. Faithful to her Lord's injunction, which she brought before us in the epistle, the Church reminds her children in the communion anthem that they announce the death of Christ when they receive his body, and that, consequently, they should tremble at the very thought of an unworthy communion. Communion. As often as ye shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, ye shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Whosoever therefore shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Alleluia. The Church concludes the mysteries by praying for that eternal and unveiled union with the Divine Word, of which she has a pledge and figure in partaking, here below, of the real substance of his body and blood, under the veil of faith. Post-Communion. Grant us, O Lord, we beseech thee, the everlasting possession of thyself, as a pledge of which we have received thy body and blood.